Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Bring Out the Best Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bob Wright, Professor of Transformational Leadership at the Wright Graduate University for the Realization of Human Potential. Pleased to have you here today because we're going to be dealing with a very, very important subject. Do you engage in constructive or destructive conflict? Well, there's no simple answer to that, and there's no simple approach, because you must, first of all, understand conflict styles and to understand which conflict style is appropriate for which situation. Are you a pleaser? Do you let go of what you want because you want to keep from rocking the boat? Are you a negotiator? You win some, lose some, and you kind of go for something in between? Are you a competitor? You want to win at all costs, and you don't care about the relationship. Are you an avoider? Do you avoid conflict at all costs? Or are you a synergizer? Do you go for win-win conflict? Let's look a little more deeply at these. The pleaser, that works sometimes, but if the pattern is going to repeat over and over and over again, that you may resent pleasing, and that may cause you to become a competitor or an avoider in reaction. There's a time and a place for pleasing. Negotiating, there's a time and a place for negotiating, but there are times it doesn't really work. One of our staff members was shopping for furniture, and they negotiated with each other about what piece of furniture to get. They didn't get the furniture that either one of them wanted, and they never sat in it. And when they moved to their next house, they gave the furniture virtually unused to the movers. Are you a competitor? Sometimes you have to be able to assert yourself. But do you always assert yourself? Do you have to win and lose the relationships and end up alone without the cohort, the support that you'd like? There are times to avoid. Yep, there are plenty of times to avoid. It's just not worth it. It's a situation that's not going to repeat. You may like to think that you're a synergizer going for win-win, but that takes time and skill. And you may not care to put in the time or the skill, because a synergizer wants the relationship and they want the outcome. Synergistic solutions are just that. They're synergistic. They tend to reveal new possibilities. So where are you in this conflict game? If you're passive-aggressive, you're probably an avoider. You may think you're a pleaser, but you're actually an avoider because you don't please anybody. Pleasers engage in a lose-win situation. They're willing to lose on the outcome to win on the relationship. That's okay sometimes. That's okay when you don't have the power position, when you don't know people that well and you want to establish the relationship in the first place. But there's a point where that becomes very, very tedious and doesn't work. It's called divorce. One person's the pleaser, the other person's the competitor, and pretty soon the pleaser gets fed up, or the competitor gets fed up with not having someone to bump up against. Negotiating. That's a win-some, lose-some situation, and it's not appropriate when picking your living room furniture because neither of you gets satisfied. Competition. There are times that you must be able to stand up for what you believe in. You must be able to fight. That's called win-lose. So we have pleasing, which is lose-win. I lose on the outcome to win on the relationship. I have negotiating, which is win some, lose some. And I have competition, which is win-lose. I win or I lose. Avoiding is lose-lose. Nobody gets anything out of it. Synergy is what they talk about when they talk about win-win. Because I want you to get what works for you. I want what works for me. I want to have a stronger relationship. And let's see what we can do to come out with an outcome that's a win for both of us. Win, win, lose, lose. The stories are in the paper all the time when we look at divorce. They met each other at the beginning, and it was love at first sight. He was strong and assertive and upwardly mobile, and he was going to succeed at his career, and she was beautiful or she was pleasing to him, and they got together, and it was great. Well, for a relationship to grow, he needs to learn to please more, and she needs to learn to compete more, and when they don't, it breaks down over time, or they float into the retirement sunset with a relationship that I wouldn't want because there isn't much intimacy and real closeness and synergy happening in the relationship. I gave you the negotiating story and how that doesn't work, but there are times to negotiate. You go in and you find that at the car repair shop, they put in a new air filter and you didn't need it because you had just put one in. Well, you negotiate. You say, look, I'll pay for the filter, but you eat the labor because my filter was fine, and I know that. So that's a time that negotiating makes sense. It's a one-time event. It's not going to repeat over and over again. So you negotiate. Then there are times when you're buying a house, and it's way above your cost. And you compete to get the price you want. You have to be willing to lose if you're going to compete. You may lose that house, but that's the price of competing and pushing hard. I was impressed with myself as a negotiator, and we had a highly desirable office space we were going to rent. And I had decided I wanted to get it under $20. Well, $20 was a very good price for a Michigan Avenue office at a very desirable address. And I didn't get what I wanted. He said, sorry, I just rented it for $24 a square foot. I competed, I lost, and I paid a high price. I learned also a very, very tough lesson. There are times that you stop competing and just eat it and let the other guy win some to have the relationship. Avoiding, there was a couple that came in to see us. They'd been high school sweethearts, and he was an accountant and very much into numbers and very quiet. And she was lively and beautiful, and he adored her. They got together, and pretty soon she got tired of being lively, feeling like that she was animating a corpse. She told him she'd never want to have his child. Well, he was an avoider, and he had to face the fact that he had not been engaging in the relationship in a way that was creative, that was nourishing for her. Well, he learned his lesson, and the rest is quite another story you can get in our book, The Heart of the Fight, A Couple's Guide to 15 Common Fights, What They Really Mean and How They Can Bring You Closer. So the competition, I gave you an example of that. And in synergy, we discussed that. But synergy is really a fascinating process because it requires time and it requires investment. It requires communication skills. It requires listening skills, expression skills. It requires complex reasoning on how do we get both and. It's both and reasoning. It takes more time, more skill. Isn't always the thing to do. So, remember, the five conflict styles: pleasing, negotiating, competing, avoiding, and synergizing. Understand that there's a time and a place for each one of them. Analyze yourself in situations where you're happy. What happened? Analyze yourself in situations where you were unhappy. Did you need more competitor? Did you need more pleaser? Were there times you should have avoided when you picked a fight? That's one of my big flaws. I can tell you story after story about times where I competed and I really should have just gone for the relationship and avoided something that struck me as horse manure that someone else was saying. Learn these skills, and living your life becomes an increasing adventure of fulfillment and relationship and learning and growing and getting better and better at them forever. So, go to our callers. Our first caller is Emily. She says, I'm having trouble determining whether or not the thing I'm fighting for is in alignment with my values. Now, that's a whole nother variable, but very important. Hi, Emily.
Hi, Dr. Bob. I have so much joy hearing your voice, and I'm so terrified of this topic.
So tell me about it.
I guess my nutshell question is, I often pursue conflict because I feel it's the doorway to intimacy. I'm learning to fight for something and not verbally attack it, and I would like feedback on how to have greater discernment, knowing when the something that I'm fighting for is vital or in alignment with my values, or when I choose to put up blockages within myself and not try to become more. I want to fight not only for something, but for more within myself and with whomever else I'm engaging with in conflict.
Well, I want to, first of all, identify that you're bringing a new variable into this conversation is values. But you didn't tell me what's the specific fight you're dealing with and what are the values that you're wondering about.
Within myself, I'm not engaged in conflict in this moment, or, I mean, with anyone currently, more within myself. So I'm trying to understand what I'm trying to learn about myself. And do I sabotage myself becoming healthier, or do I embrace something that is not going to help me change?
Okay, well, this is a really important one because we do have conflict within ourselves. And Freud was the first one to widely articulate that for people to take a look at. And he talked about conflicting drives. But let's just talk about this internal conflict. I'm at a restaurant, and I'm ordering food. Part of me says, oh, man, that fattening food looks great. And the other part of me says, nah, you should just eat a salad with no dressing. And so I now have an internal conflict. I have my health advisor conflicting with my hedonic advisor. Hedonic means value, enjoyment of life, pleasure. Mm-hmm. So I've got pleasure versus health. And I have an internal conflict. Now, what are my values? Well, my value might be pleasure. The research shows that pleasure is a value. It leads to a happiness, but it's the lowest level happiness. Mm-hmm. Health, to what end? To what end am I saying do the salad? Now, if I take these two together in a win-win conversation, maybe I can pick some broiled shrimp with a vegetable in between the steak I wanted and the salad. So I now have an internal win-win that gives me some hedonism and taste, and mm-hmm. at the same time, it doesn't blow myself. Now, that's that type of conflict internally that we all deal with all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So does that help?
Somewhat, yes. In this moment, I feel like I've been heard and I'm understood, but I will get off the phone and go, I wish I would have said that as well. So I feel a lot of fear because I have a hard time determining what needs to be said. I just get confused easily.
Let's discuss that conflict, to talk or not talk. You just chose to keep this conversation going as I was closing it. And
yes.
you chose to keep it going with saying that you wanted to avoid regrets afterwards.
Correct.
So sometimes you can't avoid regrets afterwards. You had a conflict about to speak up or not. There was a silence, and you chose to speak up, and I gave you a chance to speak up rather than just cutting it off.
Yes.
So that gave you a chance to engage in the conflict and then speak. So
I embrace
I
that.
Would like
I love
you,
that.
I would like you to consider that it is just part of life, that after every interaction there's going to be some unfinished business in most cases, and that's how we learn. That's how we orient to ourselves going forward. So
great.
That's also how you plan your next call in to talk with me.
Sounds good.
Thank you very much, Emily.
Thanks,
good
Bob.
Talking
good to hear
you. Bye-bye. So isn't this wonderful? So we're not just talking about conflict among people, between people, but within ourselves. Mariam is our next caller. She says, how do I use my experiences of feeling unseen and disrespected to learn and grow and remain confident in my abilities? Big question. Tell me about it, Mariam.
Hey, but Dr. Bob, how are you?
Good. Nice to hear from you.
Nice to hear from you. Thank you for your time. To tell you a little bit, historically as a pleaser, currently I aim for synergy when given the time, but unfortunately I'm in a conflict with an attending physician. Currently as a medical student, an attending physician is basically my superior, my boss, if you will. So I aim for synergy when given the right time. However, I haven't really created much time with her, since usually we're in the OR operating, not much time for meaningful conversation, if you will. My conflict is as such, her evaluation was received and replete with dramatic allegations, as I perceived them. And historically, from my performance with other attendings, I've been given much greater evaluation. And I'm feeling hurt and unseen, and I reached out to my assistant dean, who has been very supportive, but did say that if I let this slide, it will soon be forgotten, but if I engage in further investigation, I'll ruffle up many feathers and build a negative reputation for myself, essentially encouraging a bit of fatalism. And something that I've seen currently in the medical field after being out here for a few months is this very disturbing hierarchy of power and essentially abuse of inferiors, whether it's medical students or residents. And as you and I have talked about this in the past, there's a lot of increased burnout, and I'm experiencing it even just a few months out. And I believe it's due to the emotional burnout as a result of the emotional and verbal abuse while being trained. And I believe this is one of the main reasons why there is an increase in medical error and why it's one of the leading causes of death in the U.S. So
Situation. Hang on. Let's just stay with you and the attending. So you've got your attending, and she's given a scathing review in certain areas. And advice has been to let it drop. There are tasteful ways, if you acknowledge her power and her control, to ask her if she'd be willing to discuss it with you to help you understand it, because you didn't see it that way, and you'd like to understand her perspective.
Yes, I asked for a meeting, and we plan to meet next week, and I don't know how to go about it. I should go about it as a pleaser or
I just gave you how to go about it. I just gave you how to go about it. You have to acknowledge she's the last word and she's the expert. And at the next level, you ask her to help you understand and ask her if she minds you telling you your perspective on the different points and if she'll help you understand the gap in your perception.
Mm-hmm.
That may earn you the right to ask her at the end of the meeting if she's willing to reconsider any of the ratings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in asking for a session with her, that's how, not verbatim, as you had just so eloquently said, but I had emailed her with the same, with a very similar message that I'd like to better understand that I feel that there's been some areas of miscommunication and that I would definitely benefit from a sit down with her if she's willing to sit down with me. So I guess what I'm gathering from you, Bob, is to go in with a synergistic desire in mind, if you will, with an end goal of negotiating, but to go in to hopefully gain those points.
No, you have no basis. You have no basis to negotiate with her. You have no basis. You have no power to negotiate. Negotiating implies that you have some power position. That's why you seeking to understand her may get you enough rapport that she'll soften, and you can ask her at the end if she's willing to reconsider any of it.
Mm. Yeah, I guess I'm feeling angry about this. I feel that I have some level of power in the sense that, you know, how in looking at it from a just perspective, looking at the facts, the things that were listed were false. And so just because I don't have those two letters after my name or that role, it upsets me that in the hierarchy I'm not considered powerful.
So I want you to consider that you're stuck on competing in this one and justifying your position. And that's not going to put you in the right frame of mind to learn and to enroll her as your support. I had a therapist who I worked with at a hospital years ago in the mid 70s, who was they were trying to drive him out. He was a master's level therapist, and he brought in more money than any other therapist in the hospital. And the MDs and the PhDs were threatened by him. And so what he chose to do was brilliant. And he asked the medical director to be his advisor and to help him get better. That's all he needed. Because the medical director became invested in him succeeding and was thrilled to declare him a successful case of intervention when, in fact, nothing changed other than his meetings with the medical director.
So if I'm understanding you correctly, to build rapport with her, to get her on my side, to say, hey, can you serve as an advisor of some sort to help me improve on my performance in as described by her own perception, as defined by her perception of me and my performance.
This is you being a pleaser. And if you succeed at being a pleaser and establishing rapport, you may earn the right to bring your competitive self in thoughtfully and respectfully. Your other option is to do what people are warning you against, is to go to war, compete, make your case, make a mess, and have your reputation smeared instead of just moving on as people have suggested to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess I feel fear of not, of letting it go, because it seems that there's a lot on stake. It seems like if I am to repeat this, then it would affect graduation time and the downhill effect of that with future training. You know, so I guess there's that inner competitor is rooted in actually fear.
Well, all I can tell you is I have listened to advisors in situations like that. I had a professor in my doctorate who accused me of intellectual dishonesty, but he couldn't articulate it. I had developed 2 days of training. I sent him videos and sent him the manuals, and he was saying that I didn't know what I should have known. And my question to him was, well, how do you think I could have developed these programs and delivered these courses that I sent you the videos of? And he says, mm-hmm. I don't know where you got that. But mm-hmm. and that was the accusation of academic dishonesty. I don't know where you got that. But he stayed firm on his point. So then I went to the administration, and sure, I could fight him and make a huge mess. But they suggested I close out the course and start it again, which I did. And did it very successfully because I had done a great job. So you've got a dilemma, and I'd be eager to hear how you end up resolving it.
Thank you, Bob. No, this has been very helpful. I'll go into it with an open mind to learn and to see if I could have her join me and be on my side. And perhaps in the future there's good in this.
Okay. Thank you, Mariam. It has to be genuine. Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah. Thank you. Bye.
So, oh, boy, there are those ones that just we've got our self-esteem invested in it, or it's going to cost me another rotation I'm going to have to repeat, or some inconvenience, or it's just embarrassing, and it sticks in our craw. Sometimes we should fight, sometimes we shouldn't. That's the beauty of understanding what we've been talking about. Pleaser, negotiator, competitor, avoider, synergizer. You pick. There's a time and a place for each one. Thank you very much for joining us. You will find a great deal about resolving conflict in our book, The Heart of the Fight, A Couple's Guide to 15 Common Fights, what they really mean and how they can bring you closer. Love to have you check that out. We've got our week-long summer leadership program going. It's the most amazing teamwork and intellectual and fun and learning week that you will ever have. I'm thrilled that you're here with us. If you haven't done our foundations training, it's our way of introducing you to our work and to you and your social emotional intelligence. Check it out. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to call in and ask a question, email hello@rightliving.com. And for more information, check out rightliving.com. Thank you for joining us today. Go into your life, energize your life, and ignite your world. Be a blessing wherever you go. Thanks for joining us. Goodbye.